I have noticed something during resurrection. My eyes open more in the spirit than any other time. And the presence of the Lord, I feel His presence more than any other period, because this is not just a day or a time we are celebrating. This period is a portal, a spiritual portal. This season is a spiritual gate. We want to see what this resurrection really means in your life. I know we have so many believers who such type of messages do not really make them to have the passion to understand scriptures. Number one, the resurrection of Jesus had a very important decree, which we call legal framework. So the resurrection of Jesus brought a legal framework of His sonship. I'm going to show you something that is important. So we can say, just come over here. I told you this before. Never be deceived because you speak in tongues or because you received Jesus. The presence of Jesus has nothing to do with your speaking in tongues. I told you this, the fact that you speak in tongues does not guarantee that it is well. Let me remind you, I told you this before. I said when God gives you a gift, He does not remove it from you. This is why when God made the devil to have the wings, the ability to fly, to attract, when God threw him on earth, God didn't remove that from him. This is why until today, demonic activities have got more attraction than the things of God. Am I speaking to you? Yes. If there is a concert that has nothing to do with Jesus, you will see people more there, shows that have nothing to do with Christ. In fact, that they promote evil, they've got more expectations. Why? Because God does not remove. When He gives you something, He may remove the ordinance, what He gave you, but the anointing He gives you, He does not remove it. And I gave you this example about King Saul, that God gave him the anointing. But when God took away his kingdom, the anointing was not taken out of Saul. That's why David could not kill Saul, because he said, touch not the anointed. So even though he had fallen, but the anointing was not taken. Do you understand that when King Saul was killed, that David killed the person who brought the report? It was so deadly. One thing people don't understand, that sometimes do not be the one to carry bad news. He was not killed because he killed King Saul. He was killed because he carried a bad news. To say, I found King Saul dead. He said, how can you bring such a news? He was killed. Are you understanding? Yes. That's how dangerous you are. Sometimes people who gossip about you, they don't know how powerful you are. It is costing their lives. And they don't know why their lives are so miserable. After they spoke about you, how are they now? Did their lives change? So you must understand this, that when you are anointed, you become so dangerous. Are you understanding? Now let's look at this. So God understood that the devil had still power. Are you understanding this? God understood that the devil had still what?
Power.
The coming of Jesus was because God knew that Satan had still the legal right over life and death. I don't know if you're hearing this. So when David was living on this earth, the devil had his true power. When Abraham was living on this earth, the devil had what?
Power.
Access. So it took God to send Jesus to come and reset. I'm trying to talk to somebody here. So Jesus came to reset. So the fact that you have received Jesus, we are going to talk about that. Well, I'm coming back to this point. The fact that you know Jesus does not mean that the enemy cannot have access to you. I told you this before, that Jesus Christ was standing in front of Peter. And in fact, the devil entered Peter right in front. Am I speaking to you?
Oh, yes.
So when him is born again, the way he is like this, it does not mean that he can lay his hand on the sick and they can be healed today and tomorrow again. That's why the gifts of the Spirit, much as you've got the gifts of the Spirit, they normally move on faith. That's why if you're a man of God or a woman of God, you must always remember that. That things around you will happen according to the revelation that you have. Now, so he has Jesus. But for him to experience the works of Christ, he must understand, in fact, what are these works of Christ? Now, so he must say, in the name of Jesus. Okay, he must say, in the name of Jesus, that name that I have just mentioned, something can happen or cannot. How many of you have prayed and said, fire, I command fire, and the following day the situation was worse? So you must ask yourself a question. Wait. You can't be saying fire. You can't be saying come out. Everything that is standing here, come out. And so in fact, it's like, you know, that's when they are closing the door. No, you have now to learn to unlearn certain things. You have to grow into maturity. Get out of food for babies. You must mature in the spirit. You must get into a level when you say out, it must be out. When you say be healed, it has to be healed. Because it now looks like whatsoever prayer you make, it is not being answered. It's not like that. And the reason is most people, they want to jump the knowledge of Christ. They just want to get into what they are looking for. I am praying now, I'm fasting for 3 days. I want a miracle to happen. It does not work in that way. It does not work in that manner. You need to know. The Bible says, and you shall know the truth. And it is the truth that you shall know that shall set you free. It does not say the truth will set you free. It doesn't say that. It says you shall know the truth. So if you don't know that truth, you will never be free. So there are truths in the Bible that you must know them. I was showing you one day just basic information for believers to know. They have got no knowledge. I told you this, what's happening in Iran and Israel. You should know. You say, this is what's happening in the Bible. Here it is. This is what's happening. We have, nobody's even worried about that. Nobody wants even to think about that. what's happening with the global maneuverings. Nobody wants to understand what's happening. So we are praying, we are fasting. If there are people right now who are so ignorant, are Christians. Christians are so ignorant that they do not even know what's happening in the world. Jesus Christ said what? He said, they've got eyes to see, but they can't see. So you think you have power, which is there. But what shall unveil what you carry? It's not your zeal. It is your knowledge. What you know. Am I speaking to you? Somebody came to me and said, Papa, pray for me. Touch my eyes. I want to see. I want to be prophesying. I said, it does not work like that. I asked the person, are you attending iSource? He said, no. I said, how many books I have written on the prophetic have you read? He said, I studied the one in 2018. I read until, I think, five chapters. Hey, you are coming now. You want to go and prophesy. I said, is it witch doctor? It's not, it doesn't work like that. I said, do you know I can stay 2 months without prophesying? I have stayed, like online here, I think I only prophesied a week ago. I did 4 months. I never prophesied online. I never. Because prophecy, there are things you have to know. There are so many people who get deceived because of the gift. In Romans 1 verse 4, when we are speaking about the legal framework of his sonship, the resurrection brought the legal framework of his sonship. And declared to be the Son of God with the power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. What declared Jesus to be the Son of God was resurrection. What gave Jesus the legal framework of his sonship is not his birth from Mary. Am I speaking to you? It's not what? It's not his birth from Mary. That's why he was born as a child. He grew up as a child. The child was born, but the son was given. If you're following, some following. So if you see from the scripture, we see something that is very important. Even Jesus himself was never the Son until he experienced the power of resurrection. So when he received Jesus Christ as the Lord and the personal Savior, what happened? In John 1 verse 11, he says,
he came to his own,
and his own
did not receive him.
In verse 12,
but as many as received him, to them
he gave
the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name.
So you see that? So him too, he was born from his mother and his father. Now when he received Jesus, he also has got a legal framework of sonship. He gave him the right. So now he has the right. In Romans 1, the Bible says what? It says, by the power of resurrection, when he resurrected, the Bible says what? It says, he was declared to be the Son of God. With the power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. So even Jesus was never going to be declared the Son if he never went through the resurrection process. So what made you to also be declared the sons of God? It is the fact that you received Jesus. Now, what happened? You died in the flesh and resurrected in the spirit. So you are no longer in the flesh. And therefore, you also declared what? Sons of God. But that's not enough. All right. Maybe see that. That's not enough. Now, what is more enough? I don't know if you're still getting what I'm trying to teach you. Now, so Jesus was declared when he went through the resurrection process. So the resurrection gives us a legal framework of sonship. Okay? I want you to get that. So, that you are a son, it does not mean because you are a son by right, you are also a son in actions. That's another step. So there are people now who are saved, but they are still behaving like they are not. I want us to read together again. Romans 1 verse 4. Let's just read together. Well, what does the Bible say?
And declared to be the Son of God with the power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh.
So he was born according. So he was born. But what declared him to be the Son of God? Resurrection. Let me show you something. So the word there, it says in verse 4, he was declared. The word declared there is the word horizo in Greek, which means to appoint. It is a legal appointment. My God. It is a what? It is a legal. When he said declared, that's when in the courts, when they say we declare, once they say that, what they declare becomes a legal what? Framework. Anything that's going to happen will happen according to the basis of that legal entity. So Jesus is not just the Son of God. He is legally declared by the resurrection. So the resurrection was what made Jesus Christ receive the legal declaration to say you are now the Son of God. You too, the Bible says, if you accept Jesus with your mouth, it says what? You are given what? The right. The word right there, it is the same thing which I spoke to you before. It is the same thing which gives you to have the legal framework. The word right is not a small word as you think it. The reason why nobody can come to you and do anything they want on you is because you would take them to court. They would be violating your rights because by birth, you have rights, human rights. And the scripture says they were given the right. This is a divine right, a spiritual right. Sickness, when it comes in your body, it is violating the spiritual right, the divine right. Whatsoever you are passing through, they are violating what? Rights. That's why Jesus Christ, most people do not understand how God operates. Heaven operates the same way courts operate. In fact, courts took the divine order and copied from it because they began by a woman by the name of Deborah. I'm trying to talk to people. Am I speaking to somebody here? So if you look at the courts, how they began, they began a long time ago. And how did they begin? They begin when God gave the law to, they started when God gave the law to Moses. This must not be done. This is illegal. Illegal, 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 illegal. Right? And Moses took that as a law. And he brought to the people. And now eventually they appointed the judges. Are you still there? And these judges were men of God. They were filled with the Spirit of God for them to make judgments. So the whole legal framework which we have today was adapted from what began from Scripture. This is where when you go in the court, they will take the Bible and say, hold it. I'm trying to talk to somebody here. Because that's where it's coming from. All the laws of your nations, they are in the Bible. Thou shall you not kill. It's in your Bible. Am I speaking with somebody right here? So understand this. So God understands. You see, even demons cannot just come in your family. They are in your family legally. something happened. And what happened opened a legal access to the devil. That's why the Bible says, let the poor say, I am rich. Because God understands, the more you say, I am struggling, you are giving demons a legal access. The more you are saying, we are suffering, you are giving the devil a legal access. Am I talking to you? So do not wonder when you pray that you're in problems. Because prayer is a reversal of all the negative things you've been speaking. Now, you cannot speak negative things, and then you come, you pray, you speak, you declare positive things, and a week later, you are also speaking negative things. You are canceling your prayer. Because prayer, it is the opposite of what you speak out of frustrations. Do you understand that when Joshua, Caleb, when the moment they came to Moses with a report, you know what happened? Some said what? They said, when we went there, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers. And some said what? No. What we saw there, we are able because God is with us. And what happened? Those who spoke negatively did not enter. Imagine just words. Okay, let me show you something that is very important. Let me just show you a very important thing. You ready for this? Whatever you speak, do you know why it's called a sentence? Do you know why it's called a sentence? What you speak, it becomes a sentence. You know what is a sentence? It's a judgment. Okay. Maybe you didn't know the meaning of sentence. So from today, you should know this. Anything you speak, any sentence you speak, it becomes a legal entity in the spirit realm. Number one. Number two, do you know why it's called spell? It's like, can you spell the word? Do you know why it's called spelling? Anything you speak, you spell. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. And it's what happens in the demonic world. They cast spells. And you're not even hearing it. Anything you speak, you spell. You spell it. And when you spell, when what you are speaking becomes a spell, and then the spell becomes a sentence. That's why we believers, we don't spell, we declare. So how can you spell during the day, at night declare, the following week sentence? You must begin to grow, as I said earlier on. I said, you must begin to learn to unlearn certain things. Are you here, somebody? You must learn to unlearn certain things. So we have got believers who don't even know. They just move like this. Hallelujah. Oh, shakara, ba, 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 ba. Hey, anything you speak, anything you say, either you cast a spell, and it becomes a sentence. You should be knowing, where are these words coming from? Spell? It's the same spell when they were casting spells. Now, let me just show you a very important thing. So, the fact is so clear. Jesus is in the boat with the disciples. And they are saying the boat is sinking. Are you understanding? Jesus rebukes them for saying such words. And Jesus changes. He says, be still and rest still. You can see the vocabulary is different. The vocabulary is different. So the enemy will put you at a corner, because the enemy, when he does, he knows he has got no legal right to attack you. So what he does, he puts you under pressure. All he wants is you to make a statement. When you make a statement, you sentence yourself, and the devil begins to say, I am here because he said it himself. That's why what entered by your word or by somebody's word, whether in this generation or your ancestors or your grandparents that you don't even know, if they said a statement that brought in demonic entity, can only come out by also a word. That's why demons come out when we say out. What entered by the word can come out by the word. Are you following? If you following, say, I am following. Say, reverse. Any word I spoke against myself. I reverse. Say it again. Say, I reverse. Any negative word I spoke against my loved ones. I'm telling you. You know what? The devil, if he wants to finish your husband, he will make you fight so that the wife can say, you're useless. And the devil says, no, at least I have got a what? A legal right to make this husband useless. And the wife now, and they forgive each other. But things down the house are useless. The man can bring money. Things are down. They don't even know. They think they're even accusing uncles at the village. No, you bewitched one another. You told your wife you're a fool. So I reverse the sentence.
I reverse the sentence.
Say amen. And some of you, you are misbehaving so much when you are 12 years. And your parents made statements about you. So I reverse it.
I reverse it.
Heaven, let me show you something. In Matthew 12:37, the Bible says, can you just read that? Matthew 12:37, the Bible says what?
For by your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you'll be condemned.
Do you know the word justified? Justified means you were put in prison. You were being accused. Are you understanding?
Yes.
It means you are what?
Been
you were being accused. But justification is when the accusation has come out. And the Bible says you can only be free, not by the prayer from Major One, but by your words. So when I deliver you, when I pray for you, when I cast out the spirit, you have the work now to start speaking according to the prayer.
Amen.
So the Bible says, by your words, you are justified. And by your words, you are condemned. Do you have common English translation? It says what?
By your words, on that day, they will be told they are either innocent or guilty because of the things they have said.
Now, I want you to cancel any word you have spoken before. Say, cancel any negative word.
I cancel any negative word.
Now, when we do this, in the prophet, we do such type of cancellations when we are doing what they call prayer reinforcements. When we want to reinforce your prayer. Any prayer you made last year that is not answered yet. Now we go back in the spirit and this, you say these words. You say, I reinforce. Say with me, I reinforce.
I reinforce
every prayer,
that is not yet answered.
By canceling
any word I spoke
contrary to my declaration. Would you think negative? Of course, you would think negative because you are human. And sometimes the enemy, in fact, when you are thinking, sometimes it's not you thinking. The enemy may actually make you think negative things. It's like people think actually when Jesus was taken on top of the temple, they think that the devil took Jesus Christ physically. No, it was in the mind. It was in the mind, the whole battle. So the enemy can think you're in your mind. That's how we rebuke him. Jesus called the scriptures in his mind. Do you know how many kilometers from Jerusalem, where the temple is, to the place where he was fasting? He was fasting at a mountain near Jericho. It's about 100 kilometers. Now, are you telling me that he moved from the prayer? He's in the desert. And then the devil took him physically like this into Jerusalem, 100 kilometers. On top of the temple and say, if you're a son of man, throw yourself. No. That would be Sunday school thinking. No. Oh, the snake or the devil said, if you're a son of man, tell this stone. People think, no, it was all, he was hungry. He looks at the stone and then an idea comes and say, if you're a son of man, you know, Like some of you are tempted so many times. Like, okay, since you pray, why is this not happening? And you think, it's you thinking, it's the devil who is actually addressing you physically. Tell him, I rebuke you, Satan. Am I talking to you? Say, oh, hey, you've been praying, and through now, you see this. It's exactly what was happening to Jesus. It comes like an idea. In fact, like a very wise idea. Look at how it came. You are a son of man. Just speak to the stone, and it will become bread. It came like he's thinking, like, oh, I'm a son of God. I'm hungry. Jesus had the Satan in that idea. Am I talking to you? As he's walking like this, an idea comes to say, you know what? If you can just start a business, if you can start this, if you can say, you will prosper than this thing of ministry. As he's walking, Jesus said, if I just worship the devil, I'll be given everything. Am I talking to you? Jesus said, no. Are you understanding? So you encounter those things. But you must always understand this, that this is the devil trying to talk to me. And most of you have not even developed into maturity where you know the devil is talking and this the Lord is speaking. It's always you. You think it's you. You think it's not God is speaking. You think it's not the devil speaking. You think it's just you. The Bible says, let us move out from these teachings of children. Elementary lessons. Grow up. Begin to understand what's happening. Be a person who says, I know. The resurrection made me to be a son of God. The Bible says in Romans 1 verse 4, which we read earlier, it says what? It says he was declared. In verse 3, it says he was born in the flesh. But in verse 4, he was declared to be the Son of God with the power according to the Spirit of holiness. Notice, not that he was just the Son of God, with the power. Are you understanding? Somebody say, I have power. But there are women who think they have no power. They'll be living like this, hopeless. There are men right now who think they have no power. They'll be looking at situations, powerless. You have the power. Oh my God. In Acts 13, 33, let's just go to Acts 13, verse 33. Let's read it.
God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you.
Did you see that? When Jesus was raised only, that's when it was declared, today I have begotten you. You are my son. Are you understanding?
Yes.
So, there are stages of sonship. Because when Jesus Christ was baptized, God also said, you are my son. So we'll talk about that on Friday, where I'll teach you stages of sonship. You will now understand why you can say, come out, things can't happen. You can pray in this way, things can't happen. You will know which stage have you been operating on. Are we together? But hear this. That is very important. The Bible says, do not behave. Do not behave just like human beings. Always remember, resurrection qualified you to be sons of God. Am I speaking to you?
Yes.
Resurrection qualified you. You are not just moving in the streets, claiming and believing that you are a child of hallelujah, I'm born again, I'm saved. No. It's not just an ideology. Because religion is about an idea. Do you understand this? Religion is an ideology. People are born in Muslims, people are born Christians, people are born Hindu, people grow up and That's religion. You are born a Christian. That's religion. But Christianity is not all about religion. When you understand your life as a born again, you will know that it's more of an experience. I wake up in the morning, you know, with this type of joy. I can't wait to face the day as a child of God. Literally, I'm in charge. I don't feel at any given moment that situations are above me. No, I am in charge. When I see the wind, I say, be still. When I see this happening, I say, get out. Am I speaking to somebody? Say,
that's who I am.
But the moment you are timid, the moment you are living like, okay, it's all about God's will, or I am not, tomorrow I'm praying, or today, and then you sentence yourself a little bit, 10 years into poverty, then you should cast a spell. You'll remain like that. Raise up your right hand and say, in the mighty name of Jesus, I receive spiritual maturity. I refuse to remain the same. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Resurrection was not just an event. It was a legal activity. Let's go to the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 15.
Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it.
Start from verse 13 to 15.
And you, being dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which is contrary to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it.
I hope you're hearing this. It says that God did not just do this in private. It says he did it publicly.
Yes.
Do you know why a public prophecy is more important? It is a public spectacle. Your shame is not in private. People know you are suffering. People know that the car you're using is useless. Your shame is not in private. Let me show you something. If prophecy could be private, then John, who was a cousin of Jesus, you must know this, that they were cousins. Do you know that they were cousins? Direct cousins. Why did John prophesy to Jesus in public? They could have told each other behind the scene. But John gave a prophecy publicly. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Everybody heard it. And God again prophesied in public, this is my son. Not once, twice. One time they were at a mountain. God again said it. And through Peter wrote about it. He said, we were there. When the voice came from heaven, he said, we heard it with our ears. Am I speaking to somebody right? Can I prophesy to you now? Why did Jesus Christ die in public? Why did he die in privacy? It was a public spectacle. What we are doing here is a public spectacle. It has a public meaning. Oh my God, I'm trying to talk to somebody right now. what God is about to do through you, people will see it. Say after me again. Say, Christ is in me.
Christ is in me.
I carry resurrection power. Say it again.
Christ is in me.
I carry resurrection power. I cannot lose. In the name of Jesus. Say it again. In the name of Jesus. So why did Jesus had to rise on the 30th day? Okay, because the 30th day is the day of release. Am I speaking to you? The 30th day is a day of what?
Release.
We read the Hosea yesterday, chapter 6, verse 1 to 2. Can you just read it?
Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. He will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, all that right, we may live in his sight.
After 2 days, he will revive us. So reviving is happening after 2 days. But on the third,
he will raise us
raising
up.
You're not ready for what I'm about to share with you. These 2 days and the 30th day were not just little. They were prophetic markers. That's why I tell you, do not just be physical like, oh, it's resurrection, Jesus' resurrection. Listen, it's not history. Jesus is real. In heaven right now, he is on the throne as I'm speaking to you now.
Hallelujah.
What we are doing right now, he is involved.
Yes.
But let me show you something. The Bible says, after 2 days,
he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up.
Okay. Now, I want to show you something very important. What was he saying? Since Jesus Christ went to heaven, it has been 2,000 years. Do you understand?
Yes.
Do you know that?
Yes.
Do you know that it's 2,000 years?
Yes.
Up to the year 2000. Remember when we were, for some of you were born before 2000, right? In 80s, 90s, people were saying the world will end 2000. Remember?
Yes.
Okay. Why? Because these will be 2,000 years after Christ. Now, 2001, 2002, okay, we have started another 1,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You understand?
Yes.
Now, when we finish 1,000, we say what? 3,000. Do you understand?
Yes.
Now, so we are on the 3,000, right? We are into now. We are counting inside the 3,000. Now, let's read the scripture. Now, in 2 Peter 3, verse 8, what does it say?
But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day.
Stop there. So what is Hosea saying? He's saying, after Jesus has gone to heaven, there'll be revival for 2 days, which is 2,000 years. The third day, he says, that's what there'll be rapture.
He will raise us up.
You didn't hear this. So can you imagine we're in the third day? That's why Jesus was also raised on the third day to prophesy. So if you check the 2,000 years, that's where the revivals were. The Bonkers, T.L. Osborne, the Azusa Street Revival, all revivals. Right now, there's no revival. Now it's just prophets all over. There's no more revival now. There's no revival. You tell me where is revival happening? There's no revival. We are on the 30th day. Oh.
After 2 days, he will revive us. On the 3rd day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight.
Let me show you something for you to understand something. Let's go to Genesis 22, verse 4. What is he saying?
Then on the 3rd day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off.
When was it?
On the 3rd day.
Come on, say louder.
On the 3rd day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off.
I want you to see something here. We'll come back into that. Check Esther 5, verse 1.
Now it happened on the 3rd day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace.
Esther approached the king on the 3rd day. You will meet your king on the 3rd day. Genesis 42, 18.
Then Joseph said to them, the 3rd day, do this and live, for I fear God.
Joseph released his brothers on the 3rd day. When Joseph was releasing his brothers, it was on the 3rd day. Are you understanding? Are you seeing all these events happening on the 3rd day? And Jesus is resurrected on the 3rd day. And one day is like 1,000 years. And so far, we are on the 3rd day. A year of being raised up. Now, somebody, some here. Oh, are you still following or you're tired now? Say, I'm a child of God. So the Holy Ghost is in me. Jonah 1, verse 17. Can you read it? Jonah 1, 17.
Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights.
Are you understanding? There is something on the 3rd day. We are on the 3rd day when we're supposed to be delivered. We are on the 3rd day when we're supposed to be released. We are on the 3rd day when we, in fact, it's our generation that meets the king. We are. I'm trying to talk to somebody. Me, I behave like someone who's living on the 3rd day. The Bible says on the 3rd day, he will raise us up. And yet there's no promotion around you. We're in the days when God will raise people up. Oh my God. So I'll be seen from afar. This is the 3rd day. We are living on the 3rd day. Your behavior should act like someone living on the 3rd day. Your thinking, your everything should be known. We are the ones now in authority. We are in charge. That's why if you see the devil in a person, you say, come out. I'm not talking to somebody right here. We are living on the 3rd day. Do you know what it means? I can give even more scriptures, even 50 scriptures about 3rd day. Acts 9 verse 9. Just check it. Acts 9 verse 9. Check it. What does it say about Paul?
And he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank.
Do you understand? Even Paul, his blindness was not supposed to pass 3 days. I'm trying to talk to somebody. Oh, yes. Paul became blind, but his blindness was not supposed to what? 30 day is a legal, it's a final place when God says, I cannot hold my people any longer. Amen. Legally, Jesus could not stay in the grave for 4 days because the last day is the 30 day. God says, you cannot stay here above it. You are the only one right now who you are living on the 30 day, but you are still living like this. So I refuse. What I'm teaching you now is it's not a sermon. It's a revelation. I'm just trying to show you what the Bible is saying. And you are seeing it with yourself. Let me finish this scripture. In John 20, verse 1.
Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb.
Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark. The word dark is the word skotia in Greek, which means blindness or invisible. Now, can you imagine this? And saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Not that Jesus was supposed to walk out of the tomb. Remember, when they were talking about him in the house, which was locked, he appeared in their midst. Remember? Yes. So he does not need the stone to roll out for him to come out. It was to announce it's no longer the grave. Are you understanding? On the third what? Day. This was also a spiritual announcement what will happen on the third day, which is the generation we are living in, which he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, this generation will not pass until the fulfillment of what was prophesied. So we are living in a generation of the third day. So how you behave, know this. Jesus may come within our 100 years we're living in, or in the next 200 years from now, but trust you me, it is this 1,000 years we're talking about. Now, so you, how you live, never allow Satan to oppress you. You have the right. You are a resurrected person, and again, living on his 30th day where he resurrected. Are you here? In Matthew 24, 34.
Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place.
Are you understanding? We are now that generation. We are now in that generation. So how you live? Never allow Satan to oppress you. Never allow things to stand on your way. You are a child of God. The resurrection power rests upon you. Lives inside of you. Say, I have resurrection power.
Of resurrection.
I rebuke Satan.
I rebuke Satan.
Every power of the enemy.
Every power of the enemy.
Every force of the enemy.
Every force of the enemy.
I stand against them.
I stand against them.
Oh, no matter how things may happen, speak to your mountains. Speak to your situations. Speak to your dry land. Amen. God promised about this steady day that he shall make rivers even in the deserts. A highway shall be made. A prophet mentioned of a highway. Said, and a highway. In those days, there were not even highways. There were no highways. And the prophet says, and a highway shall be there. I speak in the name of Jesus Christ. May the power of God start manifesting through you. May you never have God and behave and suffer as though there is no God inside of you. May the power of God begin to manifest. Somebody say, I activate the resurrection power in me. I activate the Spirit of God that lives in me. In the name of Jesus, every prayer from my mouth shall carry power. Every declaration shall carry power. I cancel every negative word that ever came from my mouth. I cancel every sentence against myself in the name of Jesus. This is a reminder that Jesus, his resurrection has a meaning. It was not just an event that should just be marked on a calendar. It is something to be lived. We have to live it. We have to live the resurrection. We have to stay in the resurrection. That's who we are. We are no longer in the flesh. Jesus defeated the flesh. The body was defeated when he made a public spectacle, when the flesh died and he rose with it, because he said, it is finished. I speak to everybody of you who are watching me, wherever you are, you will move in this power of resurrection. You are a child of God, and it is declared in the spirit, you have the right. In Jesus' name, say amen.